Hello, this is Andrew W. Boss. You're listening to Jim Madonna on Power Rock Podcast. Crank that shit up, my friend.
Hey everyone, Jim Madonna here, your host of Power Rock Podcast. I would like to welcome you all to yet another episode, bringing you the best interviews from around the globe, from indie to mainstream. And friends, today I am super excited for today's guest, because I have on the line the amazing Andrew W. Boss. Andrew, welcome to the show, man.
How are you?
Hey Andrew, man. First of all, I truly want to thank you for taking your time and doing this interview with me. You know, first of all, I want to give a big shout out to Dave Tedder, man. Done a lot of interviews through Dave, and Dave had approached me. And when he sent me the file, I was like, dude, hook me up, because Andrew W. Boss has got what it takes, man. So I'm really excited about this, man.
Yeah, man, Dave's awesome. And I'm really happy that it worked out. I had some issues yesterday, so I appreciate you being able to reschedule and let me jump in today and get a chance to chat with you about everything.
It's not a problem, man. That's what we do. Share the love, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, Andrew, I'll tell you what. Why don't you go ahead and give the listeners a little bit of history about yourself and get maybe take us up to speed. I know you had some past work that you had done. Mm-hmm. So why don't you give us a little history, the new full-length CD, Invincible, and that we're going to play some tracks off of. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn the floor over to you, my friend.
All right. Well, I started to record music when I was 18. I recorded like hip-hop and rap stuff just because it was easy for me to make beats, other people involved. And having a band, you got to have like four or five other people involved. And it's a lot of work. And so when I first started out, I did hip-hop stuff. I recorded a little EP in Phoenix, and my brother was the producer. At that time, he was in a band called Twisted Fable, who had an artist development deal with Dave Ellison, and their band kind of fell apart right at the end of that. And so me and Flip, he's my guitarist now, for the Andrew W. Boss Project, and we go out and tour and stuff. But we've continued to do music throughout there. But then I had a band for a few years that at the end of it, we were just starting to get into having a big-time producer do our album, and we had some inner turmoil in the band. And then I decided to basically tell all of them to F themselves, and I was going to do all the stuff on myself. That's when I decided to do the album with Jim Fogarty, who's up in Massachusetts. And so when I decided to do that, I kind of just made a handful of ground rules for myself, things that I didn't want to do, things that I did want to do. And then all of the people around me, musicians that I've known for a long time, I hit them up and said, you know, I got a handful of shows coming up and I want to do an album. You guys want to help me make this album and we'll see where it goes. Our first show that we did was a sold out show in Salt Lake City with Tech N9ne. And there was like 2,500 people there. We had literally practiced like twice and just played the show. And then we went and toured regionally, kind of one-off dates, you know, weekend warrior style throughout the West Coast. And then got the album done, put the album out in May. It's just a solid album. We went out on a summer tour with Twisted, and now we're doing a fall tour with Twisted, going all the way back east, out to New York and Massachusetts, down to Florida, all the way to California and Seattle and the Midwest. So we're doing like 40 shows, and that's kind of where we're at now. I got a pretty solid album, I think, and I got a good full band that I tour with drums and guitar and bass, and my brother's the ultimate hype man, so he gets up there and rocks the shows with us, and we're just having a really good time doing it. I have no complaint. Everything's going really well, and now I'm chatting it up with you.
Well, that's awesome, man. The album Invincible that is available on, I'm sure, all kinds of outlets. Why don't you go ahead and tell the listeners where the album can be purchased?
You can buy the album pretty much anywhere online. It's on iTunes, it's on Amazon, you can stream it on Spotify, on Apple Music. Pretty much anywhere online you can find the album. And there's a handful of stuff on YouTube, there's videos on Facebook that you can watch. There's a lot of live videos that you can watch of us playing at the Whiskey or in Phoenix or Salt Lake City or Denver or like wherever. So there's a lot of places where you can check it out, but just listen to it. Get on Spotify, listen to the album, listen to the songs that we're going to play during this interview. Like, just check out the album, because a lot of people, they hear like rap rock and they're kind of like, I don't know, but it's different. It's not what you think, and you really should listen to the album. Stream it, buy it, check it out, give it a chance. That's all.
Killer, man. Now, do you have physical CDs, or is it just like digital download type?
Yeah, I do. If you go to my website, andrewbossmusic.com, you can order CDs from me, and I'll ship them to you. Like, I will personally go down to the UPS store or wherever, and I will send it to you, and I'll send you CDs, T-shirts, hats, like, anything that you want to buy. But the album's only $10, and I'll ship it to you for free.
All right, so let me ask you, man, what are some of your musical influences, and how did they impact your career?
Man, there's so many. Like, I listen to everything. I absolutely listen to everything. There's one song on Facebook that you could find. It didn't make it to the album. When I first started making the album, it was a lot more hip-hop and a lot more whatever. And one of my favorite singers, probably my favorite singer, is Frank Sinatra. And so I redid his song called That's Life. And if you go on Facebook, you can listen to that. But it didn't really make the album because the album turned out so much more guitar-driven and band-driven, but I wanted people to have a chance to listen to it. So I have a lot of musical influences. When I started doing this, some of the advice that my mom gave me was don't have, like, a monetary cult. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, I want to make $100,000, or I want to make this much money, or whatever. And my goal was to play with people that I liked. Like, I wanted to play a show with Seven Dust. I wanted to go on a tour with Korn. Like, those were my goals. And so that kind of influenced my career on what direction I wanted to go musically and how I wanted to go as far as the performance. Like, we want to be able to tour with Twisted and not really feel, like, out of place, like, have people like us, or with Tech N9ne, and then be able to tour with Seven Dust and Korn or, you know, people like that and not feel out of place. And I feel like our album represents that well. And I feel like our live show does, because we are a lot of energy. We get the crowd riled up. I love to go crowd surfing. By every show we do, we end up in the crowd somehow or another. And it's just a lot of fun. And so all of my influences have come more in the form of who do I want to play with and where do I want to go with this, more than just what I listen to and how am I going to write the album. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Because, you know, when I listen to your songs, you know, you hear that hip hop, you hear, mm-hmm. you hear that Metallica or that Megadeth or Tupac, you know, you hear all the you know, it's like multi-genre type of music. And, you know,
right.
What I think you've done personally is stepped out of the box. A lot of people are so comfortable in doing, if you're a hip hop artist, okay, you just do hip hop, but you've taken it to a different level, man. And that's what I really like about Andrew W. Boss, man. And that's not no BS, man. That's straight up truth.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that, because that's really what my goal was, to be different, but to have people who don't normally listen to that to really like the album, and people to be like, you know, I don't normally like that hip hop stuff, but your guys' show was amazing. That, like, that kind of feedback is what I shoot for. And so it really means a lot for you to say that.
Well, you know, it's like I said, it's coming from the heart, and you're welcome, man. The first track I want to talk about is off the album, the self-titled album, Invincible. How about you go ahead and give the listeners some history about that song?
Well, Invincible is probably my favorite song on the CD and by far the heaviest song on the CD. And I knew a friend of mine. She's married to Pablo Rivero, and he's the drummer for Chelsea Grin, and he does vocals and drums and stuff. And so we were hanging out one night, and he was showing me the studio, and we were watching a lot of YouTube videos about gospel chops and stuff and drummer videos, just kind of tweaking out on music. And he was like, yeah, I'd love to do a song with you. And he was telling me, you know, I can totally do something that's a little your style, because at that time he had listened to my song Decay and Let Me Hear You. And so he was kind of vibing on how the album was turning out. And I was like, no, like, I don't want you to try and match what I do. Like, I just want you to make your music, and then I'll put my vocals over top of it. Like, I'll come up with something, and we'll mesh, like, the two forms together, like, milk. And that's why I really like that song, because it's not really something that you're going to hear anywhere else. Like, nobody else, I think, or I haven't heard anything like that before. And that's why I really, really like it. And so I had already had the idea for the song, but I hadn't came up with like a melody or how I was going to write it. And so when he did the drums, the bass, the guitars, and he gave all that to me so that I could write my vocals to it. And the basic inspiration of the song is like the words of the song. I think I'm going to make some t-shirts up that say this, because it's just a good thing. Is like the chorus is, I don't believe in giving up or giving in. I am invincible. That's really kind of my motto in life. It's like, you know, life is going to throw you some shit, and your career is going to throw you some shit, and you have to be able to get around that. And no matter what comes at you or how life handles you, pretty much, you got to be like, I'm invincible. I'm going to take it, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to get better, and I'm going to grow and be stronger. And that's kind of the motto of me personally, and that's what I wanted the album to be about, like an entire theme of the album. That's kind of what I wanted to be.
Very cool, man. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Let's go ahead and let the listeners hear Invincible with Andrew W. Boss on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up.
My level's out.
are back with Andrew. And Andrew, I got to tell you, man, I don't want to sound like a damn robot, but dude, that was just a smoking track. I'll probably say it on every track that we play, man. It's just well written, well produced. I like the groove in it, man. It's just all around great stuff, brother.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Let me ask you this, man. What was the most defining moment in your life that you wanted to become a singer?
Well, I don't know if there was one moment. I talk about often. I talk about the first time, the first real concert I went to was Deftones, and seeing Chino run around on stage and crowd surf, and seeing him climb up on speakers and just be an animal on stage. That was probably the most influential time in my life. But growing up, man, when I was little, I wanted to be a comedian. Like, I watched Chris Farley and Jim Carrey and all these guys just made me laugh, and I wanted to be a comedian. And then I got into music, and I started going to concerts, and that's when I was really sucked into the whole making people feel better, you know, like having a couple hours of your life where you just turn life off and you just have a good time. You know what I mean? Like, I really got sucked into that. And so probably the Deftones concert was what really sold me on wanting to be a singer and a performer, for sure.
That's cool, man. Great answer. I want to talk about the song Wreck the Place. How about some history?
Yeah, well, Wreck the Place is just a fun song, and it was a song that I kind of wrote. In the lyrics, I kind of, like, I talk about Deftones and Mudvayne and one of the bands, some friends of mine, their band in high school called Hollow Point. It was just kind of a shit-talking song, and I wanted people to groove and have a good time, and I wanted to talk about, you know, being a teenager trying to do music. There was a time that we played, so when I was doing the hip-hop stuff, before I had really played any shows, we set up a PA in the middle of a park in Tremont, Utah, which is like farmland. And the mayor showed up, and the police showed up and shut us down. And the mayor, and like the police officer, I'm not even kidding, was like giving me this whole lecture. You're not Eminem. You're not going to make it rapping in Tremont, and then you're not going to this and that, and blah, blah, blah. And it, like, oh man, it was straight out of a fucking movie. And it was just craziness in my teenage years that I wanted to put into a song. And so the whole live attitude that we have, that we're, wherever we play, whatever we're going to do, whoever we're playing with or opening for, if we're headlining, like, we're going to wreck this place. We're going to get in the crowd, and we're going to rap, and we're going to make it, and I'm going to show you how big my balls are, and we're just going to rock this place out. And that's kind of the whole vibe of the song right there.
And here it is, Wreck the Place with Andrew W. Boss on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up!
Put on my Dre shit and found out who I was. Tearing the roof off, and I'm the bull god. Mashing the nookie and growing a mohawk. I wrote raps at first, but still headbang the Mudvayne. Hollow Point on weekdays, weekends I rock stain. Crowd surfing Deftones, spot dudes at my home. Drove up and got stoned, fuck chicks I'm not known. I never given a fuck about what people thought or what they said about me. I am me and every one of them. See what happens to fake friends who doubt me. I'm on stage with Tech 9, a hop scene and I scream. I strut when I walk, cause I grab my cock a lot. It's too big for my pants and my balls hang to my socks. I watch lots of crotch and it shows all the girls pay. They all sing and they mosh to a song today. in a shithole. I never make it out of my goals. Get a real job, give it up, there's no hope. But I'm dope, what the fuck you talking about? I'm stoked. I'm amped up for each show, I work hard for each goal. And each step I take, though I look back and see those fake friends and real foes look down at me, yo. But now that I'm so dope, my album will go gold. So fuck them and let's go. Here we are on tour at your home. Every fan is like someone that we know. They're mosh pits and elbows, hot shit till hell froze. Rocks out to pigs fly, I do till I die. My motivation is at home and inside. I'll look you in the eye and not cry, but I'll tell you that it's my time. I'm taking the whole world wide in a perfect crime. And inside man lies and waits in every word of mine. With hate and disgust, and you'll find a genius mind in a madman obsessed with fate and a fate that I made, cause I can.
My attention to this, I had to face it. It's never over, it's calling to me, it's holding me in. The music makes me wreck this pain. All we want we
Andrew, what do you think will be the next evolution in the music industry?
Well, I'm not sure, man. I definitely think over the next couple of years, rap metal and rap rock is going to take over quite a bit of it. And I think that hip-hop is gonna form, because hip-hop goes in waves for sure, where they have really, really good stuff and then they have really crappy. And I think that the metal scene is going to come up quite a bit, and the hip-hop scene is going to come up quite a bit, and you're going to see a lot of good bands just come out and tear the place up. So I'm looking forward to that, because I think that a lot of these radio stations have been scared for some time to really embrace like the new stuff. And these new bands that are out there touring, they don't really get a lot of love unless you're listening to like online podcasts or online internets or like SiriusXM. And I think that you're going to see a lot of the commercial radios adopting stuff like you're doing, where they're starting to accept and embrace like these up and coming artists. So yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. I think that a lot of your podcasts and internet radio stuff is going to start to take over, and the commercial radio is going to take notice, and they're going to start trying to operate in that area the way that you guys do.
Great. Well, you know, I think, and I appreciate that, man, but, you know, in my personal opinion, you know, I think that with the music industry today, at least in my generation, people, and no disrespect to it, but people are kind of stuck in the 80s, and they are afraid. Again, this is only my opinion, but they're afraid of change. They're afraid to accept that what we need is we need some new stuff, because, you know, we've heard all this stuff for the last 30 years. And that's, some of it is amazing. I still listen to it today. Like I said, I'm not dogging it, but people are afraid to change. I just really believe that.
I think so, too. I really feel that way, because we definitely feel it here in Utah, because they got big bands that will come through that are super, super good and have all of these followers online, and they should be super huge, successful bands, and they're playing for 100 people at the bar. And it's kind of ridiculous to me. but a lot of people haven't found a good way to find these bands yet. And I think that people are going to be switching over to internet radio stations and podcasts just to find new stuff, because even our radio stations here in Salt Lake, we don't have a new rock radio station. We have multiple radio stations that are the rock station, and all of them have the same format. All their formats are made in Georgia, like Atlanta, Georgia, and they program everything here, and they literally play Led Zeppelin, Bon Jovi, AC/DC, Scorpions, Def Leppard, Ozzy Osbourne, and nothing new. Nothing. And it's just a sham for the whole industry, and I think that they're going to start stepping away from that here soon, because they're going to realize that there's an entire industry that they're not even paying attention to right now.
Right on, man. What is one of your most memorable live shows?
Well, probably the most memorable thing I've seen while we were performing, we were playing at Tech N9ne, and there was an all-girl mosh pit, like 20 girls just beating the shit out of each other, and it was the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. It was crazy.
Wow.
And they were like going after it, like Wall of Death kind of stuff, like just beating the shit out of each other. It was amazing. It was really fun.
I'd like to have seen that.
Yeah, it was right crazy.
On. All right, next track I want to talk about is Let Me Hear You. How about some history on that one, brother?
Let Me Hear You is another one of my favorites. Let Me Hear You really kind of goes after, well, there's two things with that song. I got the music from my guitarist, Jeremy Tabor, who did a lot of the guitar work on that album. And he sent me over just the chorus riff and a little bit of drums, and then the verse. The chorus that's on the album right now was my first take. I wrote down the lyrics, and I had it in my head, and I recorded it right then, and that's what's on the album. So I think that's pretty cool. And then I was trying to sing these verses, and it just wasn't working out. And Jeremy and Corey, who's my drummer, were like, "You just need to give me some of that angry rap flow that you do," and they just were just pestering me about doing some rap verses. And so I sat down and I just kind of let everything out from the band that I was in before, and how I kind of left the band and decided to do it on my own, and my ex-wife, and you know, all these people that I felt were dragging me down and keeping me from being successful. And so the idea is the mist of gray is like that fog that you get caught up in life, and it's just dragging you down, and you don't think that you can get out of it, or that you can really, you know, make a difference and become successful. And a lot of times that's the people around you that are dragging you down, and you got to step away from that. And so the mist of gray is, you know, coming out of the mist of gray and being a better person and leaving all that bullshit behind you and not letting it affect you in a negative way. And so that song was really therapeutic for me, to just let out all of the anger that I had, and being able to, you know, like a therapy session, you know, you let it all off your chest, and then you walk away from it a better person, you know what I mean?
Right on. And here it is. Let Me Hear You. On Power Rock Podcast, crank it up.
Put your fucking hands up. I said put your fucking hands up. If you sick of the sound on the radio, then put your fucking hands up. Let me fucking hear you. I said let me fucking hear you. If you sick of the sound on the radio, then let me fucking hear you. Put your fucking hands up. I said put your fucking hands up. If you sick of the sound on the radio, then put your fucking hands up. Let me fucking hear you. I said let me fucking hear you. If you sick of the sound on the radio, then let me fucking hear you. Put your fucking hands up. I said put your fucking hands up. If you sick of the sound on the radio, then put your fucking hands up. Let me fucking hear you. I said let me fucking hear you. If you sick of the sound on the radio, then let me fucking hear you. We'll be right back. no shits I would hinder to rock, rub and pop. And I turned on the blender, spun it on up and I drank down the beverage. I may never be clever, the way I'm as clever. I don't freestyle, I scream and I headbang whenever. Guitars on a beat and I mosh it together. I jump up and down and I cast up and clown. And the dudes behind me,
we don't fuck around.
Fuck all this garbage, the shows and the towns, promoters and labels who don't like a sound. I wipe my ass and my balls with the right up in calls. I'm rocking these shows in the stores and the malls. From the whiskey I go to Idaho Falls. Leaving drawers on the floor and a clock
for y'all. Put your fucking hands up, I said put your fucking hands up. If you're sick of the sound of the radio, then put your fucking hands up. Let me fucking hear you, I said let me fucking hear you. If you're sick of the sound of the radio, then let me fucking hear you.
I can think of a tribe, though I'm blessed in my life. The devil keeps yapping when I roll up my eyes. Got my ski mask back on, but I'm a devil and I. My hand on this bat, no regret this time. No friend of mine, no sign, my rhyme. I'm Simon again and I'm showing my smile. I got a demon inside, I was sold as a child. My own fucking cousin spread the rumors, I'm vile. Disappointed, I know, you thought I would choke. Let me broken and bruised to survive on my own. But I'm better, I'm grown, I'm broken and bone. Now I'm coming for fans and the money you owe. Every song that I wrote was a single and broke. The system's a bitch and I'm happy to fuck her. Leave her asleep while I creep on her mother. A stunner, a runner, a solo with money. The labels get numb when you thinking I'm funny. Think I can't bitch? Good white little Kendrick. Good black, yellow wolf with a giant appendix. Splendid, don't mention it's really my pleasure. I'm happy to stand here and rock with a band, yeah. Alive and a man, yeah. Crowd surf for the fans, yeah. Touring the world, the original fan.
Put your fucking hands up, I said put your fucking hands up. If you're sick of the sound of the radio, then put your fucking hands up. Let me fucking hear you, I said let me fucking hear you. If you're sick of the sound of the radio, then let me fucking hear you.
Again, we are back with Andrew W. Boss. Andrew, has there ever been a point in your life where you had lost the interest in performing? If so, what did you do to rekindle it?
I've never really lost the interest in performing. I've definitely had like some bad shows and reassessed some things. I've had a few times in my life where I just didn't want to be around people and I didn't want to talk to nobody and like that kind of a deal. But I've always had a pretty good sense of, you know, tomorrow's a new day. And it's never too late to start over. A pretty positive attitude about life and knowing that, you know, whatever funk you're in, it's not always going to be there.
Right,
man. Mentally. You know what I mean? You gotta mentally get yourself through shit like that. And so I've always been able to overcome stuff like that. And the motivation goes up and down, especially in the music industry. There's a lot of hurry up and wait. And I get hit up a lot from other bands that are wanting me to give them advice. And I really don't feel, one, like, I don't know if they take it the wrong way where they're, they think that I'm just a cocky prick or something like that, but I just feel like I shouldn't be giving them advice. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not Eminem successful. I'm not Linkin Park successful. Like, what do you want advice from me for? You know what I mean? I'm out there struggling and hustling just like all the other musicians, and I just feel like it's not my place to give other people advice. And I have a handful of people hit me up about, you know, how do you get out there, because this whole industry is a hurry up and wait kind of thing, and you gotta wait for these shows and you gotta wait for this publicity to come out, and there's always this anxious feeling of I should be doing more, or I wish we can just be on tour with somebody right now, or you're like constantly waiting for the next thing to happen, you know what I mean? You just have to work your way through that, because a lot of times you'll be waiting for 3 to 4 weeks before you get a confirmation show or a tour, or, you know, whether this radio station's going to play your song or stuff like that. And you just have to mentally be able to just be patient and wait. And sometimes you're going to get a lot of times you're going to get a no and go F yourself. But for those couple times where you get that big show and you get to go on that tour or whatever, it's worth it. I've kind of, over the years, figured out how to just mentally get through those slow times so that you can enjoy the good times.
If you could summarize it very simply, what piece of musical advice forever changed your way of thinking?
I think the best musical advice that I've gotten, and you know, everybody's going to react to advice different ways. You know, you're going to latch on to certain things that people say. But for me, Jared from Head PE told me that there's no right or wrong in the music business. It's just everybody's opinion. And that really stuck out to me, because when I first started, you don't really know how any of the music industry works. And so when you're a local artist and you're trying to get shows, in your brain, it's really processed in there two things. Like, one, to get a record deal. Like, everybody wants to get a record deal. And record deals don't mean shit anymore. They just don't. And number two is you always have this, like, fantasy in your brain that if you open for this band, they're going to love you and they're going to take you on tour. And then you're going to be huge and famous and everybody's going to love you and you're going to have all this fucking money. And, like, and that's complete BS, dude. And so when Jared was telling me, you know, there's no right or wrong in the music industry. Everybody's got to find their path, and you got to find your way through the path. And what works for your band isn't necessarily going to work for another guy's band. Cool. Everybody has their audience, you know what I mean? And that really stuck with me a lot, because then it really enabled me to take charge of my own career and stop worrying about, well, I need to get a record deal, or I need to do this, or I need to do that, because you really just got to chop away at your own path and go after your own goals. And if something big comes up, then that's just a cherry on the pie. And it gives you that freedom to do what you want and to go after what you want, instead of hoping for somebody to come and give you a handout or to come and give you a record deal or whatever it is, you know.
In your opinion, in what defines a successful record?
In my opinion, my successful record would be us being, like, this record being out for maybe a year or whatever, and us being to go out and tour, a headlining tour, and having all the shows packed with fans that are singing along to the song. That would be my success. So if I could go, to Boston and have 400 people singing along to all the songs that we play, I would feel like that album was successful.
That's cool. That's a great answer, man. Next track I want to talk about is called Coming For You. How about some history on that one?
Coming For You is just an angry song, and I love it. I love it. It is like the motivation that you need in the morning, like, just every bit of it. Like, it's my version of Limp Bizkit Break Stuff song, you know? And I had motivation at the time from a handful of different places. I was pretty angry that week, and that's just a song that came out, and I just love it. It's just so brutal, and it just makes you want to go out and tell the whole world to go F themselves. And a good angry song. I think that the lyrics are pretty specific and speak for themselves. But if you need motivation for your boss picking on you, or some shit went wrong this week and you just need a song to get anger out, this is a song for you.
Indeed it is, man. And here it is, Coming For You on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up. We'll be right back.
you say, apple sides of your mouth, they escape me. And no doubt, even though I don't know why, you chose to inflate things. Every word that you say out your mouth makes it back to find me. And I find me excited to say the least. No longer will I hide the beast deep inside me. Now break your face off!
All right, Andrew, welcome back. Brother, we're going to go ahead and get ready to close this show out. And I want to ask you one more question. And it's this, brother. What type of legacy would you like to leave to your friends, family, and fans?
Wow, well, a legacy, I haven't really thought about a legacy. I would say for my fans, I'd like to have 3 solid albums that they love. So number one would be Invincible, hopefully. And for my friends and family, my family particularly, like my daughter, I'd like to be able to pay for her college and stuff like that and be able to pay for all those things with my music. And so my legacy, I don't think would be any kind of tangible thing. But just to be able to go out and make a difference in the lives around me, you know, like when I started this, like I said earlier, I had a couple of rules of things that I didn't want to do and things that I did want to do. And the number one thing that I wanted was like an hour of your life where you just shut off life and you enjoy the music, kind of like a movie, you know. You get to go to the movie theater, and for 2 hours you get to sit in there and you get to enjoy whatever you're watching, and all the problems in your life are on pause for 2 hours, you know what I mean? And that's what I want my music to do. And when they come and see a show with us, I want them to have a good time and be involved and sing along and like to have a mosh pit with us and crowd surf and put your hands up. And like, I just want you to forget life for that time that you're listening to my album and coming to my show. And that's how I want to affect people in a positive way. So hopefully we're able to do that.
That is an awesome answer. And Andrew, right now we're going to go ahead and close it out, man. And I just want to truly thank you for this opportunity to speak with you, to enjoy such great music. And I want to say to you, my friend, that I truly do wish you the utmost success, man, in all that you do. And I hope that you take this industry by storm and kick fucking ass.
Absolutely, my friend. Absolutely. I can't wait. I'm gonna make them hear us, and I'm gonna shove that song, Let Me Hear You, right down their throat. And I'm gonna go out there and do what I do. And I appreciate you having a platform like this where we can chat it up and play some songs and bullshit for a little while, because I love it, man. I really appreciate you giving me a chance to chat it up with you, you know?
Well, thank you, man. I greatly appreciate that. Well, friends, there you have it. An interview with Andrew W. Boss. I am Jim Madonna, your host. What we're going to do is we're going to play one more song. This one here is called Regret. Crank it up. Peace.
There's a force to be reckoned with. You don't ever want to poke the bear. I'm taking another blade to up the show. For the night closes, I'm fucking your face up. I gotta run and think twice, but your homie's lips slipped up. He told it down, that's long, it's all the push. We're gonna see if the stock can cut. Ever since my ear, grab this myth, I've been suspicious. If you hold it, flick, I'ma shoot what you did. This shit's already sick. You better be prepared for a brick, dear whip. Forgot
front door kicked in.